This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
He knows John Dorsey and is a friend with John Dorsey, and he said he still did not think that he was safe. So Brian Broaddus kind of called this for us yesterday. Oh, and we have, if you want, Matt Rhule to be the next head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, because as we speak, the meeting is taking place between Garrett and the Joneses. Here's what Matt Rhule had to say. Listen very carefully for a very key word in what he has to say about his 2020 future.
I've not been contacted by anybody, but it's certainly a distraction in that our guys are answering that instead of talking about the game, which I hate. But, I was talking to James Lynch yesterday. Like he said, it's part of my job. When our players play well and when they do things like they've done, going from 1-11 to the Sugar Bowl, people are going to take notice of not just me but my staff. I hate that it's even a storyline for our players, but they've handled it really well. They're used to it. It's been every year it's been that way.
You're talking about the, Baylor for the future. Do you think that you'll be back at Baylor next year?
I plan on that. I certainly think I will be.
I plan on that. The key word being plan on that, with the subtext that obviously I read into it is. But I mean, if the Cowboys came a calling, I can't say I would turn that down.
That's 100% right. Look, this is not the first time that we've seen this, right? It happens every single year.
I want to find the old clip of Nick Saban saying, "I don't know how else to tell you, I will not be the next coach of Alabama."
Right. Or how about, Roy Williams, cursing on the air after Kansas losing in the championship game. I believe that's what it was, right? Before he took the North Carolina job, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't that it? I mean, and it also goes back to what Jerry says sometimes too, like, well, it was true when I said it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It is. Right now, yeah, he's planning on it. That's exactly what he's saying. That changes, especially when you're talking about the Cowboys, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, when the Yankees call with a manager spot open, you answer the phone. Urban Meyer saying what we all know months ago, right? If the Cowboys call, you pick up the phone. Bill Parcells said it years ago that he was actually going to the college ranks during that DallasCowboys.com feature that they did, last year, maybe a year or two ago, and saying that he was thinking about going into the college game, and then all of a sudden he got a call from Jerry. All of that is irrelevant, what Matt Rhule giving there right now. Even though I believe the sentiment, he does believe.
No, I do too, and it's probably best for his players and recruiting right now if they all believe that as well. So, that is the latest as we have it. Now, on to the playoffs. And the whole reason I brought this up is because, and somebody said, well, heck yeah, it's still football. So, we talked with Travis Frederick yesterday and asked him, do you follow the playoffs? And he said he's more interested in the Rose Bowl with Wisconsin, big shock,
of course,
than necessarily the playoffs. But he's like, I'll keep an eye out on it, but not like super intense. And I'm curious how, I'm curious how many people feel that same way. How many people are like, Cowboys season is done, football season is done for me, as opposed to how many people are like, look, I love the Cowboys, but I love football, and so I'm going to keep watching no matter what. And if that's the case, who are you cheering for? My default answer in this situation is always, I am cheering for whoever's playing the Patriots. So yeah. I think you're in the majority there. So I'm a Titans fan, then a Chiefs fan, then a Ravens fan. Those are in respective order. Those are the teams that I'm going to be cheering for. But outside of that, I wanted to see if there would be a narrative that would evolve in terms of like, who are the teams that people are rooting for? If Corey was here, I will represent for him in this case. He would be cheering for the Saints because he loves the city of New Orleans more than anything in the world. And he also loves Drew Brees. And I am curious what the second Super Bowl would do for Drew Brees' legacy. We kicked this around last week, and I said I had him not in the top five for all-time quarterbacks, but somewhere in 6 to 8.
Yeah.
And the NFL committee spoke. They did their top 10 quarterbacks of the last 100 years. He didn't make the cut. Neither did Aaron Rodgers, fascinatingly enough. But I wonder if that second Super Bowl pushes him, is it ahead of Elway? Is it, like, depending on what your top five is, where does that put him?
It does a lot. Because if you think about it, what's happened to Drew Brees over the last few seasons has really changed his legacy, right? When you talk about, if you were to mention, even though he just came off of those record-setting performances he has over the last month, would you put him in the conversation of greatest of the decade, greatest of all time, any of that? Nobody does.
Yeah.
It's always between who? Brady and Rodgers, right? Yep. Usually. Well, I mean, throwing it obviously, you know, Montana's sure. Elway and stuff like that. So Brees isn't really mentioned there. And one of the reasons is, okay, yeah, he made it to a Super Bowl. He won one, but it really takes more than that. So he's already one behind Elway. When you consider that it's been two heartbreaking losses in the playoffs the last 2 years.
Yep.
So for that reason, yes, I will root for the Saints. You know, personally, for me, it's just what kind of teams and players do you want to watch? I want to watch all I can of Pat Mahomes. So okay. I'm a Chiefs fan. Okay. I want to watch, despite that he went to Louisville, I want to watch Lamar Jackson with the Ravens, because is there anybody more? Those are the two most entertaining guys that you have in pro football today, and Lamar and Pat Mahomes.
And Lamar Jackson, I really like his story because so many people thought he couldn't do anything like this in the pros. You know, like they wanted to move him. And what was his quote in the middle of the season? Oh, not
pretty
bad
good for running back.
Yeah, for running back. Yeah. And so, like, that's remarkable to me. Even though he won the Heisman Trophy, people were like, yeah, but you can't do it at the next level. The other one I have, so I'm definitely rooting for the Ravens. Plus, they, you know, most logical to take down the Patriots in emphatic fashion.
Mm-hmm.
The other one I'm rooting for, and I know this is probably going to rub some people the wrong way. I apologize in advance. I am rooting for the Houston Texans. Because Deshaun Watson is a tremendous human being. Like, if you followed the exploits of Deshaun Watson after the hurricane down there, one of his first ever pro game checks, he took and split up among three of the cafeteria workers because all of their houses had been wiped out by Harvey.
But let me ask you this, I get what you're saying, and you're right, because I think for most of us, we root for people like that,
sure,
right?
Sure, absolutely.
But does that really bring your eyeballs?
Yes, it does to me. But I might be in the minority.
I'm just saying that, like, I want good things to happen to Deshaun Watson, and I root for him. And there's stuff like that that are good people that do good things. But when it comes to the Texans being on TV, I'm kind of like, meh.
It does to me, but like that carries over into other things. Like, I was a really big Minnesota football fan during the college year because you had, you know, PJ Fleck cleaning up a program that had, oh my God.
No kidding.
It was so awful.
They were pretty fun to watch.
And then you had the guy who held the snap, who had overcome cancer four times and just got diagnosed for a fifth time.
Unreal.
And so there were so many cool stories. I have to admit that drew me into Minnesota football far more than I ever would. And Deshaun Watson's saga and his ups and downs, and still to this day, he's doing awesome things for his community. That draws me to the Texans more than I would otherwise. I cheer for Cam Newton. I know people get agitated by Cam Newton, but like, it's the stories that you hear of, and this is the one I will never forget. I think this is an amazing story. That the block, one block away from where he lived. So he didn't even live in that little neighborhood, but it was like one block from his right there. So they were having a block party for this kid because his favorite time of year every year was the annual block party. Well, he had a fatal disease. He wasn't going to make it to the next one. And so they had it early. Cam Newton found out about it. He rented an ice cream truck and brought it over there. Never met this kid in his life, and he didn't say anything about it. All the people in the neighborhood, because people are like, well, he just wants the attention. He didn't say anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
He runs his annual Thanksgiving feast where he brought together, this past year was 1,300 people across the Carolina areas, or, you know, poor, some are homeless, and he makes, well, not him, but, you know, they make full Thanksgiving meals, and he gives them all, each individual person, an extra Thanksgiving meal to take home. And it's stuff like that where, yeah, I get it. After the Super Bowl, he was kind of a baby. Fine.
Look, Kevin, people are complicated,
yes,
right?
I will make that trade for all this other stuff. So I always find myself rooting for stories like that. But I don't know if that's everyone's
right,
jam.
Right, because I don't root for Cam Newton. Because that stuff, and that's really more of the stuff that you see and some of the other stuff goes behind, sometimes behind closed doors, or it's just not publicized, maybe as much as it should, right?
Sure.
Because we seem to really pay much more attention to negative things than we do positive things, right?
You know whose fault that is, right?
It's ours.
Yeah, exactly. People are like, it's the media. That's preposterous. I worked in a newspaper. All we care about is have people reading and making money, and always the top stories were the crime and negative stories.
I worked for a long time in food and beverage. I used to run restaurants and bars and stuff like that. And for every compliment that you would get, and say maybe in a post on Yelp or something like that, for every compliment you get four complaints.
Yeah.
That's just human nature. That's the way of life. But I think it just proves that, you know, humans are complicated. And so, yes, there's elements that you like about them and elements you don't like about them. And I want to say again that I'm with you in as far as like rooting for certain people for certain things. I just like, for me, when it comes to, all right, how are you looking at your weekend? Like, okay, I want to watch this and I want to watch that. Because to me, a lot of those stuff is like, I don't really care unless they're bad people. And I think we've gone through that with a couple or a few different that I don't want to do that. But I want to watch Pat Mahomes. And I want to watch Lamar Jackson, despite of whatever else.
This is a shocking opinion from the 972. You guys don't know S. First of all, that's fair. But Lamar Jackson will just be a blip on NFL history. Here today, gone tomorrow. That's just foolishness. If for nothing else, he's going to be the MVP. Like, he's going to be the MVP. And if you think all MVPs are, or some MVPs are lost in NFL history, maybe, but he's going to win the MVP in his second season. You'd have to look at the Ravens as the Super Bowl favorite right now, or at least I do. And if you think that's a blip in NFL history,
Kevin, the only way that that's possible is if he takes a huge hit in some sort of injury, God forbid, that something happens to him. Because if you are paying attention,
anybody, though.
No, absolutely. No, if you look at, okay, anybody that analyzes film and talk to them about it and see how they break down what Lamar is doing, it's not that he's just got a powerful arm and that he can run the ball. It's not just that he throws the ball accurately, too. It's how he's diagnosing defenses and what's the right play and the adjustments that he makes after the ball is snapped, which is something that not a lot of quarterbacks excel in, and that's what he is doing this year. So I can't buy any of that.
I'm surprised it took so long to get to this point. I've finally seen a couple of votes. The team they're rooting most for in the playoffs is the Seattle Seahawks.
Or whomever faces the Eagles.
The Eagles, right. Exactly. So
I feel that way about the Packers.
Okay, so it's the Seattle Seahawks that a lot of people are rooting for. I know Corey would be rooting for the Saints. We've already talked about Lamar Jackson and, for me, Deshaun Watson. And then I'm rooting for anybody who's playing the Patriots. But it is interesting that overwhelmingly people have said, or people have not said, the Patriots. Like, that's just not a thing.
Well, that's another thing too, because we've got a few in here, if I get to it, talking about the San Francisco 49ers from the 859. Oh, by the way, holla, 859, that's a Kentucky number. I'm rooting for the Niners, one, because my son is rooting heavily for them, and two, I just really like what they're doing this year. They're new, right? They're interesting. We've seen New England over and over and over again. You're just kind of, even if you don't hate them like some do, you're kind of over it, right?
Yes.
I'm over it.
Absolutely.
It's good having a team like San Francisco that has, you know, they were up obviously in the 80s and then down for a little while, had that brief few years with Harbaugh, down and now back up again. It's refreshing. It's somewhat new. So it's something that we can, you know, all kind of be like, yeah, they're a little bit more interesting than, say, by having the same teams over and over and over again.
And it's interesting. Part of this has been kind of hijacked by the running quarterback thought. From the 817, kind of like Cam Newton, his MVP is a blip in NFL history. He also made it to a Super Bowl. And then somebody brought up Michael Vick. I don't think Michael Vick is a good example of somebody who disappeared in NFL history. So in 2006, he became, I believe, the first quarterback ever to rush for more than 1,000 yards and throw for more than 1,000 yards. Then he went to jail. Right. And then he came back. He got a ginormous contract with the Eagles and made the Pro Bowl.
Right. He reinvented his play at the quarterback position.
He was named comeback player of the year. Like, I hate the idea that like Lamar Jackson would not be able to, if it called for it, to reinvent himself. Are there examples like RG3 where you could come up with that? Of course. Of course, there are plenty of examples where you can give me of running quarterbacks who didn't work. But I think the idea that like Randall Cunningham, I mean, he's one of your OG running quarterbacks.
Sure.
He wasn't a blip. Same with Steve Young. He was one of your original running quarterbacks.
No doubt.
He's not a blip. You know, if people want to argue about Cam Newton, I don't know about that. I would argue to a certain extent Andrew Luck came in wanting to be a running quarterback.
But the point is also true that it puts yourself in peril and things can really change.
It does.
I mean, look, Andrew Luck, there's a reason why he's not playing professional football anymore, and it's because he took a lot of hits and had injuries that ultimately he decided, look, I'm cutting my career short. There's no doubt about it. The only thing I contend is that what we're seeing from Lamar Jackson, and granted it's only 1 year, is how special he has been within the pocket. And RG3 was not as special from the pocket or throwing the ball as Lamar has been. It's been very different from him. And so for that reason now, you want to be like, well, it's only 1 year. We'll see. You know, Nick Foles went 13-3. And then he was nothing, and then a Super Bowl, and then we've seen Case Keenum have, you know, an incredible year. I mean, that Shermer made him the Messiah in Minnesota for a year.
Well, Pat Shermer never makes poor decisions. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 through the Fan. Coming up next, college football on a Tuesday. The finals are set, plus the best college quarterbacks of the decade. We'll do all that next right here on the Fan. This segment brought to you by Soda, state-of-the-art weight loss. Want to find that company that helped me lose 176 pounds? It is Soda, state-of-the-art. Guys, we're going to get to college football on a Tuesday in just a second, but we get this from the Twitter worlds and from Danny keeping me informed of the Twitter worlds. Some key members of the personnel team assembled by John Dorsey have begun exploring work opportunities elsewhere. As one source said, it feels like they lost the battle to chief strategist Paul DePodesta. So that would be the GM for the Cleveland Browns, John Dorsey, who potentially might be out the door like less than 48 hours after Freddie Kitchens was sent out the door after just 1 day, or excuse me, 1 year. And then we get this as of 1 minute ago. The meeting between Jerry Jones, this is per Todd Archer, the meeting between Jerry Jones and Jason Garrett is complete, according to sources. But if there has been any resolution to the coach's status, wait for it. It is not clear at this time. Oh, my God, Will, the dream is alive.
We are not yet in conclave.
Look, if it was me, I would just release the news. I already said New Year's morning. I would also release the news like tonight at 10 o'clock. Like, just put it out tonight. Are you stopping down from your New Year's party or whatever to talk about how Jason Garrett's not going to be back when we all knew that? The news is going to be if Jason Garrett is back as the coach. Otherwise, it feels like we're just delaying the inevitable.
Which is, again, I think just something that Jerry's trying to create a soft landing. And something that is...
I don't disagree
with
that.
Very difficult to do, but it is what it is. That's why there is a, you know... It's the end of his contract, and he hasn't been fired as of yet, although I'll still contend, as I said earlier, that during the season, there's no assistant in my mind that gives you a better chance to win games and potentially playoff games outside of Garrett anyway, so maybe that's why. But I think because of the relationship between the two, that's a big reason.
Guys, it's a Tuesday, and that is usually where we go with the cleverly named College Football on a Tuesday segment. Let's get into it, and we start with...
How'd you come up with that?
Oh, lots of research. Yeah. You know, as dumb as that sounds, don't ever forget that they spent $60,000 to come up with the College Football Playoff. They actually paid a firm $60,000, and that's what they came up with.
Yeah.
I put this together for
free. That's why there's so much money out there.
God, we don't have money to pay the student-athletes. So... You know, the College Football Playoff is now set. It is going to be LSU against Clemson. So the point spread on this. Now, the point spread on this has been kind of fascinating, and it's already bounced around a few different times. So it started with LSU as a 3.5-point favorite. Then it quickly jumped up to 4, then 4.5, and then 5. So clearly a lot of the betting money has been coming in on LSU. It is now up to 5.5. And given the way LSU dismantled a far inferior team, but still... dismantled compared to what Clemson did, I can't say that's super surprising to me.
No, going into the weekend, I thought with very little confidence that whomever won the Ohio State-Clemson game would likely be the national champion.
And now?
I have less confidence.
Ah, yes.
I mean, because look at this. It wasn't just dismantling. That was Madden. That was a Madden game that Joe Burrow put up.
They were ahead by 42 points in the first half.
400 yards and 7 touchdowns in the first half. Amazing. I mean, I thought that they were going to blow out Oklahoma. I couldn't understand the analysts, the ones that I really respect, that were like, I think it's going to be closer than most people think. And I don't see that at all. But I didn't see that going on. And so with that, because the weakness has been for LSU, what, their defense, right?
Yes.
Obviously not as good as their offense. They're known as DBU.
Nothing as good as their offense.
Right. And so now I'm a little bit worried that can anybody slow them down? And can Clemson, who has a really good defense, a really good team overall, and maybe a more complete team, I don't know if you can slow them down.
By the way, real quick, as we bounce in and out with always bringing you the breaking news, we can confirm John Dorsey is out as the Browns GM. Supposedly, per Adam Schefter, the two sides couldn't come to an agreement on a future restructure of the organization. So they all seem to agree, oh yeah, we need to change some stuff up. But they couldn't figure out exactly how to do so. Hence,
so how many years in a row is that?
Okay, so I brought up the stat yesterday. Did you know, since they came back in 1999, that the Browns have had more coaches than every other team in their division combined, and they have had more than twice as many GMs as every other team in their division combined?
Well, that's wild, except for the fact that you look at the three teams in there. And
sure, the Steelers don't ever change, but with the Bengals, well,
they should have changed more.
Yeah, exactly. Now,
you wanted to. I could see it in your eyes. Wanted to go.
I'm going to let it go. By the way, don't forget that Will Chambers absolutely wants that Marvin Lewis to be the next head coach of the Cowboys. That's what I heard him say like 2 hours ago.
No, Danny.
Can you confirm that's also what you heard?
Oh, man.
That's a confirmation.
I'm having PTSD. I'm having flashbacks now.
That's what we're all going to have when we get Marvin Lewis here as the next head coach, if you have your way.
I want to be clear again, boys everywhere behind the glass in here. Eric Bieniemy. Eric Bieniemy.
Okay, that's fine. I would accept that. That's my guy. So, the national championship game, Monday, January 13th, the over-under on that was set at 68.5, easily the highest in the history of the college football playoff. It's now up to 70. So, the thought that that would scare bettors away, not the case. They've had to raise it another 1.5. So, point extravaganza a week from Monday night. Get ready.
What are you feeling on it?
I still think I might hit the over.
Me too. I mean, because once you get on a roll, and it's not even just Joe Burrow, who was phenomenal, but Jefferson,
they have a couple wide receivers.
My God, they are so good. And that was the reason why I'm like, Burrow won the Heisman. Burrow's incredible. Burrow's going to go number one. Burrow is throwing to some premier targets that you have a very difficult time guarding. And on the other side, you've got a incredible quarterback in Trevor Lawrence. You've got two very good weapons on the outside and a great running back in Etienne.
Yeah.
So I think I'm with you on the over.
Look, I mean, if you look at the point outputs, so I know Clemson only had 29, but against Ohio State, that's a really good Ohio State team. But before that, 62, 38, 52, 55, 59, 59. LSU, they scored 63 points against Oklahoma. They scored 37 against what a lot of people will tell you is the best defense in college football against Georgia. Before that, 50, 56, 58.
One of those including in there was Alabama as well. And
yes.
Although Deacon Jones, you know, they've had injuries and it's not the same Alabama defense that you're used to. It's still Alabama defense, right?
No, absolutely.
It's not like they're awful. It's not like they're bad in any way. They're still a good, really good defense.
So, by the way, if you jumped in on this at the beginning of the season, LSU started the season 30-1 to win in some places.
Yeah, I didn't get it at that. I got it at plus 17.
I mean, still, 17-1. Looking how much money did you put down on it?
I think 20.
Okay.
Hold on, I can look it up.
Looking at a sweet $340 bucks coming your way?
No, I tell you what, I had some pretty good calls that we had in the beginning of the season. I told you about the Luka Doncic one.
Yes.
At MVP. Now, I agree with you that Giannis is probably the favorite
at still,
this
point. But still, if you got the second, that's a pretty sweet little deal. Hey, as long as we're talking about amazing calls, do you know who called Ed Orgeron after they beat Oklahoma? President Trump.
Really? That is...
I would love to hear a conversation
between those two?
Yeah. That would be amazing. God. Put your politics aside. That would be amazing.
That is about as interesting and fascinating of a conversation as that you could have. I was wrong, by the way. I had Luka at plus 9,000.
Oh.
So that's 20 for 1,800. I also had LSU plus 17, Clemson plus 200.
So either way, you get a little something.
Feeling pretty good.
I mean, obviously,
there.
You're going to root for LSU, though.
Yeah.
Take that plus 1,700 anyway.
Yeah. It was, Okay.
All right. Got some.
Boy, I hope I'm not in jail by the end of the day.
No, you're fine. You're fine. We got some declarations for the NFL draft. J.K. Dobbins, the running back for Ohio State. Some people have him as high as the number 3 running back on the board.
Should put him in the 4th round or so?
Oh, man. 2,003 yards this past year and 21 touchdowns. Had 174 yards in the bowl game, despite the fact that he hurt his ankle in the second quarter.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. And then there's prospective Dallas Cowboys target C.D. Lamb, the Oklahoma receiver. And the reason that I might consider letting Amari Cooper move, he's projected as the 11th best prospect in the draft. Todd McShay has him as number 8. And the second best behind Judy out of Alabama. So that is something that I wonder if Cowboys fans would be interested if you decided to let Amari Cooper go.
Well, I know that it's going to be a lot, and we've been seeing it on the AutoFlex leasing fan text, is that they are interested in doing that because it's such a deep wide receiver draft, right? It's not just the two that you mentioned.
Sure.
I mean, we're talking about
those
a couple
are both
rounds.
Top like 10 right. or 15 picks, absolutely.
And I think that most, if you're going to move off of Amari Cooper, then you're going to want them to take a first round pick and
absolutely.
Get one of the top guys. I am not subscribing to that belief that that's what you should do.
So I got a sad story and then something more fun for you. Georgia Tech signee Bryce Gowdy, he died after getting hit by a freight train.
Man,
that is. Just freaking
sounds like
wild.
A terrible joke. What the heck is what happened?
Well, they said it was still kind of getting details because it happened yesterday morning. Is he died once he got to the hospital, but like Monday morning, I don't know, I don't have clarification if that's like 8 a.m. or 2 a.m. because 8 a.m.
Yeah,
you
I know.
Think that's awful, 2 a.m. like it's still awful, but you wonder
what else
poor
is involved.
Choices
yeah.
beat you in that. And so,
man, is
that
tragic?
Is very unfortunate. Now, from 24/7 Sports, I've got a list of the top 10 college football quarterbacks of the decade. Are there any in particular that immediately jump to mind for you?
Well, Cam.
Yes, Cam Newton. We'll get to him in just a second.
We've got. Obviously, that is well past, you know, 10 years ago. Sometimes it's a lot longer than you think. Like when I said earlier, looking back at the decision from LeBron.
Yes.
That seems like to me 20 years ago.
It really does.
And so I was about to say, is Tim Tebow in there? But I think
that
that's got to be longer.
Decade, yeah.
Okay. So because he's the best college football player I think I've ever seen.
Wow. Okay. So you've got Kyler Murray.
Okay.
Number 10, former Texas A&M quarterback is how we all remember him. I know. Jameis Winston, number 9. Nice. We need to play that Jameis Winston. We need to play that Jameis Winston again. If you could pull that up, just at any point, we could play that. Tua Tagovailoa, number 8. Trevor Lawrence, number 7. They cheated here and put Joe Burrow and Marcus Mariota in a tie for 6. So this is actually your top 11.
Okay.
Lamar Jackson, number 5.
Okay. I'm still with it.
Okay, well, let's just go ahead and play. Go ahead and play the Jameis soundbite since he made the list.
Lay that swag down.
We all know. Come on. I guess we know what we got to fix. There's no reason for me to be specific. You know? You look at my numbers, I'm balling. You know, I got to stop giving the ball to the other
That's
team.
All I need to hear. I That's just wanted right. to make sure we heard
well,
him say, I'm balling.
The other, yeah, if you could isolate the sheet.
I'm balling.
Check your sheet.
Oh, that made me scared.
It's one of my favorite things to say during a
you know, I eliminate those, I'm going to be the best.
Fantasy football, I'm like, I don't know. The sheet says
if I get rid of all
he's
the
a third
terrible,
rounder.
If I get rid of all the terrible things I do, I'm the best.
Oh man.
Number 4, best college quarterbacks of the decade per 24/7 Sports, Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, absolutely.
Number 3, this is too low. I know I'm biased, but it's too low. Johnny Effin Football.
Too low. Wait a minute. Okay.
Too low.
So you just went Johnny Football. Who did not win a title.
That's because the playoff system didn't exist yet.
Okay. Is ahead of Deshaun Watson, is ahead of Trevor Lawrence.
He's ahead of Trevor Lawrence. I put him ahead of Trevor Lawrence.
I
told
do
you
not.
I'm biased.
No, yes, clearly.
I'm wearing my A&M hoodie right now.
And now I'm trying to think of how long ago Andre Woodson played at Kentucky.
Andre Woodson is not in the mix. Number 2. Baker Mayfield, and
okay.
Number 1, Cam Newton. 1 year,
okay,
college
yeah.
football, he was 14-0, won every conceivable award you can imagine. That's your number 1.
Yeah, that's. I find it interesting, though, that they would choose that, you know, that one season over a lot of others, but there's not a whole lot to argue there, in my opinion, because it was so good and so dominant.
But you'd probably still put Johnny ahead of him. Gotcha.
Yeah, easily.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's talk with the G-Bag Nation. What's coming up on their fantastic program? Will we get news about Garrett during their show? We'll do all of that next right here on The Fan. Hey there, folks. Want to tell you about our friends Mark and Scott Frankel at Frankel & Frankel. Look, if you or perhaps even somebody that you know, you got hurt in an accident, your holiday season was rolling along just fine, and then bam, accident there to wreck it up. You're thinking, I'm going to start 2020 off on the wrong foot. But it doesn't necessarily have to be that way. Because look, for more than 25 years, the Frankels have been helping fight for their clients to get a recovery that's just. D Magazine recognized them on their list of best lawyers for 2019, and that has been the case many times before, and you know it's going to be the case in 2020 as well. So if you've been in an accident, it's someone else's fault. What do? You dial up 214-333-3333, or you go to frankelfirm.com, Frankel & Frankel. They're the official lawyers of the Tolo. Find out why by dialing up Coming up today on the KNC Masterpiece. Coming up tomorrow on the KNC Masterpiece. Coming up Thursday on the KNC Masterpiece. Are you comfortable letting Amari Cooper walk and moving into Michael Gallup as your number one wide receiver? Plus more fallout from, well, the fallout of the Cowboys season. Join the show 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on The Fan. Coming up today on the KNC Masterpiece. Coming up tomorrow on the KNC Masterpiece. Coming up Thursday on the KNC Masterpiece. Did you know Chauvinet Dallas TruckWorld.com, Southwest Kia, and Mesquite Mitsubishi, you work with a non-commissioned salesperson? Well, you do. So check them out today. KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan, getting ready to hand things off to the G-Bag Nation. And today, the G-Bag Nation is comprised of Gavin Dawson and Brian Broaddus. What's up, y'all?
And, of course, Lucius Alexander behind the glass at Master Control there.
I'm going to be in trouble for not mentioning that.
Well, we are looking forward to 5 hours of broadcasting. And this, by the way, is my first ever full show with Broaddus. After what? How long have you been doing hits on The Fan? Eight years or so?
Boy, it's been a while. I mean, a long time. It felt like it's 6, 7, 8 years. You know, mm-hmm. I was back with the Cowboys for 8 years. So, and then now working in this direction, but yeah, we never had done a show together. I was thinking about that. I was like,
a couple segs here and there. Yeah,
we've been at each other's throats before, but sure. But
what's the biggest disagreement y'all ever had? Do you know offhand?
Yeah, I the general asks some really tough questions, and there's guys like me that are not smart enough to understand that they were really, really good questions, and I would disagree with him.
I like how this is going.
Yeah,
I disagree with him about. Like philosophy of how to move the football, how to run the football, what you need to do to, you know, and maybe it goes back to the whole things with the analytics. And am I such a dinosaur that I'm not thinking of the way of how the general was thinking, you know, numbers and how important numbers are and why would you not use numbers and probabilities and stuff like that. And there's been a lot of people in my life now that have come and said, hey, look at this analytics stuff. Look at this number, look at this trend, look how this can kind of help you, you know, and I'm coming around on that. And I think the biggest problems were, I just did not want to give up watching tape and saying, and I still think to me, that's a really important thing. What you do, you sit down, you evaluate, this player can do this. This player can do this. He can't do that. And that's always been my philosophy where I came from with, you know, the Packers, and we won a Super Bowl there. And it's really hard for me to change that. But I think those are the biggest disagreements that we've had, how numbers can help you make better decisions. And I didn't always want to believe that. And I became very violent towards them, trying to hold on to that.
Tore
philosophy.
Me up. Yeah, I did. I ducked and covered. Spent the next segment under the console right over here.
Well, don't you? Smart.
It was fun. After 8 years, if that's as worst as it's
got. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And live to talk about it.
Yeah, it was great.
And as you look ahead at what will likely be a new coach here.
Yes.
And obviously, analytics are part of the NFL now, but I don't know if you're with me. I look at it to where I say, this is a new tone. You need a new tone here. And so that doesn't necessarily mean somebody that is taking a whole analytics approach or somebody that isn't. Because the problems this year for the Cowboys seem to be like, it's the same roster as last year.
Right.
What's the issue?
Yeah, welcome to that conversation you had with Mickey today. I was listening to that.
Yeah.
You got that.
Baptized by fire, baby.
You got that settled down. Settle down.
I'm a little worked up. I didn't get a Jones.
Yeah.
But I've talked with them before.
Sure. So. Yeah, I think
we got that yesterday, bringing up the idea of Jason Witten, and he was displeased by that. So
yeah, it was
really interesting. Like, what do they need, though? Right?
Yeah.
And what kind of message, or, you know, I kind of look at, you know, the genesis of that argument that we had 2 or 3 months ago.
Right.
It was, should you be leading with the run or should you be leading with the pass?
Right.
And to come back to it, I'm not sure if Dak showed enough in the second half of the season to be totally confident that this is one of the teams that should be taking the next step of the passing revolution in the NFL. At the point we had the discussion, Dak was totally on fire.
Right.
But the second half of the season, if I'm having philosophical discussions with respective coaches, I'm really curious to think what they believe it would be in the best interest.
Yeah, I just didn't want him throwing the ball 45 50 times a game. And then, you know, that's the discussion we had.
Yeah.
And then as you watched him go on, you know, there were times where he was having to throw it and he was doing just fine doing that. And it's, I'm not going to sit there and bang my head against the wall. I felt like that, well, Mal, maybe the general's right here. Maybe Gavin's right about this. He's capable of doing this. He's capable of leading this team. They can throw the football. You know, I understand where they're coming from running on first downs. I get that. That's to me is like, I'm big on, let's establish what we can do. Let's establish our physicality. Let's use our team. Let's beat the other team up. And then we'll find ways to throw the football if we have to. But this team couldn't do enough if they weren't running the ball successfully enough on first down. Then my philosophy of things doesn't work. Throwing the ball on first down and getting 6 to 7 yards a shot, you know, and instead of making it second and six or second and four by running it, if you can make it second and two by throwing the ball, well then yeah, that's obviously better. So this is the problem that I had is I couldn't come to the realization early enough that throwing the football enough on first down will open up other things for you.
Well, isn't it about being less predictable?
Yeah, I think
wouldn't that be a part of it?
Okay, well, if you want something less predictable, did you see that the Jets just signed Brett Maher to a reserve futures contract?
Sure.
I think that's interesting to me.
Yeah, well.
Camp leg.
Okay.
Until
he wins the job.
That is not predictable. You'd be correct there,
Kevin.
I mean,
it is 3 points that the guy can make him after 60 yards.
Yeah.
The Cowboys did once have two kickers in 2010. They had Beeler and another dude. I forget his name.
I remember David Beeler because they talked about how he was going to be their cold weather long range kicker. Yeah. And I was like, that's how good this team is. We could specialize it down to that.
There's a lot of things that we thought of back in the day I'm glad they just didn't come to light. Yeah, a lot of meetings of, let's try and do this. It's always funny how you try and explain things, and then at the end of the day, you look at it and you go, that was the stupidest idea. Receiver by committee was a stupid idea.
Yeah, it was horrible. Yeah.
I think I was on board with thinking that would work, too, so yeah. I was definitely wrong about that. Yeah. My bad about that. What do you guys got coming up on the program today?
Pure Gold, Heggie, thanks so much for asking. We do have David Hellman coming up at 4:40 from DallasCowboys.com. Will we have a decision by then?
Did you see the downright amazing thing that David Hellman did today?
I was part of that last night.
Because you told him it was a terrible idea.
No,
how
it's
it was
funny.
Kelsey
Charles, last night we were all together, and Dave was talking about how much the tickets were to the game, Matter of fact, I've got two tickets. I found two tickets last night, so I will be going to the national championship game. But, Hellman, everybody came up with the idea of, like, let's see if we can have a GoFund to see if we can get David Hellman to go to the game. But it's amazing the amount of money that people did raise, but all that money will now be going to charity. So it was a very generous offer by a lot of folks. And, David Hellman and I will be sitting next to each other at the national championship game Monday night.
He said he's the biggest LSU fan. Is that accurate?
He is. He honestly is.
Even bigger than you?
I have problems with the way my football team plays at times. I get violently ill watching them play at times, but the last 5 weeks they've been outstanding.
Is Hellman one of those fans that just keeps on cheering and supporting?
He is. There's no give up with him. Nice. There is no and he will fight you. You know, here's a guy, a short guy, you know, little guy. You know, here I am. I'm really like, okay, I'm going to take my lumps and go on somewhere else. Hellman will literally get in a fight. I'm worried about in the Superdome getting in a fight from some guy from Greenville, South Carolina.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm worried about that.
I think that he took the shot about his size in there, too.
A short guy.
He's a very short guy.
Yeah.
You always have to watch out for them.
No, he will literally go for the throat.
And are you the kind of guy that steps in there as the smaller guy's bodyguard, or you're on your own, buddy?
I will not let anybody touch David Hellman. This 56-year-old man will get violent if they go after David Hellman.
I like it.
I'm a teammate guy.
If we're all together and something's happening, there's gonna be some fists thrown. Yeah.
I definitely respect that. I also respect though the guy that says, "Listen, if you can't handle your booze or your fanmanship enough to keep it in line and not fight, then I'm not gonna be able to help you."
Yeah. There's times for that. I think that I've seen guys try and break up fights and then get hit. And then that's when it's bad.
Yeah, you don't want to be that guy.
You don't want to be that guy.
No, because then you end up fighting.
Then you end up like hitting the guy that hit you. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. All right, sorry I derailed you. What is coming up on the program today?
No, that wasn't a derail. That was David Hellman. He's coming up at 4:40 with us here. Obviously, we have brought us for the entire 5 hours. Mike is on vacation somewhere. I believe Jeff is in Florida. He's hanging out with Amanda.
Oh.
They've been getting a lot of quality time over the holidays.
Yeah, I've been getting a lot.
My understanding is that Mike
took that big L the other day, by the way. at Big L for Oklahoma.
Oh.
Yeah. Glad to see that.
Is Mike at like a trade show for card collectors or something? This is what I've learned today.
Are you aware of the fact that he has a problem
with card collectors?
Yeah, with
maybe it's not a problem
if you're losing money.
Maybe it's not a problem. Okay. Maybe he just keeps making money.
He's
you were talking about wrestling much.
Correct.
Do you collect artifacts? Programs?
I definitely have a problem.
Figurines, whatever you want to call them.
I spent too much money 2 years ago on a replica belt, so yes.
Did you?
I have a problem.
Do you wear that around the house?
I mean, I'm not going to say that's never happened.
Only for pay-per-views.
Yes. Okay, see? You know what's up?
Yeah.
See? Do you put it on? Do you have like tights and stuff you wear to do this?
Okay, like let's not go insane.
No, you've lost this 176 pounds. I mean, do you wear your tights with the belt and come in and hold your hands up? But you got boots, laced
quick
up boots?
Wrestling belt something. Story. I ordered that wrestling belt. I did not open it for a month because I decided definitely not ashamed. I decided I wasn't going to open it until I dropped below 300 pounds because I hadn't been below 300 pounds in the entirety of my adult life.
You look great, by the way.
So I was like, I'm going to wait until I get that. And then when I did, you better believe I was.
Have you ever worn the belt out in public?
Yeah, I went to an event with it once, yes.
Did you?
It was a wrestling event, but still.
Do other people wear it like that?
Oh, yeah.
So it's like going to a Star Wars convention or Star Trek and everybody's dressed up?
We all nerd out for sure.
Do you go shoulder or waist?
I usually go shoulder just because in case somebody tries to start something, I can hit them with the belt.
Do you ever snap it
back? Do you have the singlet with
the
one strap over your shoulder?
Look,
Rodis,
it hasn't gotten to that point now.
No, I'm just curious.
No, I was going to say, I can't 100% tell you that would never happen because...
Do you have wrestling boots?
No, I would take wrestling boots.
Black
though.
Ones or white ones?
Black. I'm a bad guy.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have a stage name?
Are you a heel?
I always wanted to be con queso, which means just as with cheese. I don't know why, because I think it would be amazing.
Would you be a luchador then?
Oh, I might have the flexibility now. I'm super flexible.
Would you wear a mask? Would you go into wrestle with a mask on?
I don't think so. I think I would be a great bad guy manager because I infuriate people.
Yeah.
And so
carry a tennis racket?
Yeah. And
like
so
Jim
Cornette? I would walk around and be like, do I come to your job? And then I would stop and go, all right, a job is when you all, and I would just really make people angry. So
I could see that.
Yeah.
Who is the greatest wrestling manager of all time?
Bobby Heenan.
Bobby Heenan?
Oh,
Bobby
Brain.
The Brain Heenan?
Yes, that's correct. Good.
Okay. Who carried the urn for The Undertaker?
Paul Bearer.
Paul Bearer, yeah.
He's dead now. As is Bobby
Ted DiBiase was just a manager for a while, wasn't he? He was very good.
Yes, we had Ted DiBiase on the show a couple years ago. Do you know he's like super into Jesus now and stuff?
Good for him.
Fun fact about that. Do you think any news about Garrett's going to come down during the show before I get in trouble?
I think it'll come out, yes. I do.
During your show?
During our show, yes. If not, I'm going to break it.
All right. Oh, okay.
No matter what.
Wow.
Going full Mike Leslie.
I'll be a little better.
G-Man Nation already firing. Go on home with them. They'll be with you until 7 p.m. Gavin Dawson, Lucius Alexander, and Brian Broaddus. We've been the KNC Masterpiece. Will Chambers, thank you very much for joining us.
Great being
us
with you, buddy.
Much. Good, sir. We'll be back with you on Thursday, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on 105.3 The Fan. I have a DiBiase story. Just one second. Are you prepared for Michael Gallup to be the number one wide receiver and move on from Amari Cooper? Plus we deal with more of the fallout from, the fallout of the entire Cowboys season. Join the show 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on The Fan.
It's hour number one of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan, and welcome in.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.